You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears are the betting favorites to sign running back Leonard Fournette. But there's a different veteran free agent who was released on Monday that the Bears should sign instead. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for Bears Wire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we will explore the dynamics of newly released running back Leonard Fournette, as well as a different player I think the Chicago Bears should sign, a familiar face who was released from his new team on Monday to much less fanfare than the veteran running back. And we'll also hear an interesting story from Matt Nagy on Khalil Mack and the influence he's having not only on his fellow defensive players, but the offensive linemen he's going up against. We know by now in sports betting, you can put money down on almost anything. And right now, you know, once the Jaguars released Leonard Fournette, they put out odds for which team is most likely to sign him or which team is he's most likely to play for, because technically Fournette was placed on waivers. So every team has a chance to put in a waiver claim. And then if no one claims him on his current contract, then he will become a free agent and be able to sign with any team in the NFL. And the odds currently list the Chicago Bears as the favorite for Leonard Fournette. I think in some part because there have always been a team linked with, well, they could use an update at running back, right? But also with David Montgomery's injury, albeit a minor injury, still one that could keep him out for a game or two this season. There are some logical reasons you could connect Leonard Fournette to Chicago. We add on top of it the Bears having Fournette's offensive coordinator, John DeFilippo, now their quarterback's coach. So the team should have some pretty good intel on the type of person and player that they could get from someone like Leonard Fournette. But when Matt Nagy was asked, not about Fournette, but about his running back room in particular yesterday, he seems pretty confident in the guys that they have, even without David Montgomery.
We like where we're at. It's obviously we like it more when David is in there, but these guys, I think, have really taken on their role and what we're looking to do in that room. We want to make sure we understand that for different reasons last year that we need to improve our run game. And so they know that. The offensive line, Coach Castilla, Donnie, Rayola, the running backs, Charles London, they're really focused on working together to make that run game good. And so, hopefully we can get that thing going this year.
It's worth noting in there that Nagy mentioned the offensive line coach and the assistant offensive line coach before he mentioned the running backs coach there in terms of improving the running game. So I think there's a slight message being sent there if you read between the lines a little bit. But this does not sound like a head coach who is desperate for Leonard Fournette to come into Chicago. And I don't think logistically it makes a lot of sense, certainly not on the waiver wire situation. If the Bears or any team claims Fournette, I believe they'll have to pay him just a little bit over $4.1 million that was still guaranteed as part of his rookie contract. If he clears waivers and goes to the open market, then he can sign for whatever deal the market would produce for him. But $4.5 million or just over $4 million seems like a lot for a running back to come into a situation like Chicago, where the plan is still for David Montgomery to be the number one guy for the majority of the season. The groin strain, it's supposed to be a 2 to 4 week injury suffered last week, so we're about a week into that 2 to 4 week range, which could put him back even as early as week one against the Detroit Lions on the 13th of September, or week two against the Giants on the 20th. I mean, there's a range here for David Montgomery to miss zero games. He could miss maybe as many as two games, but not expected to be a whole lot more than that. So if you're going to bring in Fournette, he's going to need a significant role to be worth the salary and the production there, and taking away those opportunities from your younger guys that already know your offense are growing in the system and trying to sort of build up this chemistry offensively to help out your quarterbacks in their competition. Fournette would have a long way to go, and he kind of feels like a little bit more of a volume play more than anything in terms of the amount of carries and targets and catches that he's had in his career. He gets the ball a lot, and that's a big reason for a lot of the success that he's had. That's not to say that he's not a very talented runner, but he's not a, you know, a top five running back in the NFL. I mean, he was released by the Jacksonville Jaguars for a reason. It's not as though they're sitting on this super talented group of running backs. They are instead going with Chris Thompson, the former running back from Washington. They brought in Divine Azebo, a former New Orleans Saint, I believe, who came out of Nebraska, if I remember right, came out of the draft. Ryquell Armstead, and then a couple of undrafted free agents. So the Jacksonville Jaguars are thin at running back after releasing Leonard Fournette. It's not like he was so good that they absolutely had to keep him. So for the Bears, Matt Nagy sounds like he's ready to get by with Tariq Cohen and Cordarrelle Patterson and Ryan Nall in the short term, and they're ready for David Montgomery to be the guy in the long term, and he shouldn't be out all that long to necessitate the need for a running back like Leonard Fournette. But he was not the only veteran released on Monday that the Chicago Bears could have interest in. I contend that they should bring back cornerback Prince Amukamara. We'll check in on this cornerback battle and where the rookie Jalen Johnson stands in particular next on Locked On Bears. If you've been a regular listener of this podcast and you still haven't tried the even better new Built Bars, I don't know what you're waiting for because you are really missing out. I can't get enough of the new flavors in particular. I ordered a cookies and cream and a caramel brownie to go with my regular go-to of coconut, and their new formula tastes somehow even better than it always has. It's like a chocolatey-covered, chewy candy bar with the same nutrient macros as a protein bar. 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 4 grams of net carbohydrates, but you would never be able to tell by tasting it. It sounds too good to be true, but when I put it in my mouth, it tastes too good to be true, but I know it's true because I'm tasting it and holding the wrapper in my hands. Try it for yourself. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Again, that's LOCKEDON, Locked On, for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. Whenever I talk about Prince Amukamara, I'm always surprised when I'm reminded how much Bears fans really seem to dislike what he was doing for them last season in particular. It feels like there's this perception that he was terrible for 17 weeks and that the team doesn't need him back and he's washed and well past his prime and should just retire and hang him up at this point. Because he was released by the Oakland Raiders on Monday, you know, 6 months after they signed him in the offseason on pretty close to a veteran minimum deal. So it certainly isn't a strong reflection of where he stands right now in terms of his NFL career. But I also think it's not just as simple as to say, well, if the Raiders cut him, he must be terrible, because I do think there's some other dynamics that go into that in a COVID-19 offseason, him getting up to speed with the defense. And with the Raiders in particular, you look at that secondary, it's not one that's loaded with household names, but it is loaded with recent draft picks and other free agent signings. They used first-round picks on Damon Arnett this year at cornerback from Ohio State, Jonathan Abram, the safety, the year before that. They signed and brought in Nevin Lawson from the Lions, LaMarcus Joyner from the Rams, Demarius Randall from the Cleveland Browns. They used a second-round pick on Trayvon Mullen 2 years ago, a fourth-round pick this year on Amik Robertson. There is a lot of draft capital and a lot of free agent capital invested in this Las Vegas secondary. And Prince Amukamara kind of find himself the odd man out. And again, I'm not trying to say that he's this great Pro Bowl caliber cornerback just sitting there, but I think between what we saw from him last year and have seen from him in previous years in Chicago, at worst you're going to get an average starting quality cornerback. He's a guy that got beat a little bit more last year than we were typically used to, and there was a hamstring injury down the stretch that slowed him down for the last quarter or third of the season. I'll admit there was a more significant step back there. But I think some of the discourse around Prince Amukamara stems from a similar place as the Adrian Amos discussion. When you have a guy that is pretty darn consistent in coverage, but isn't necessarily a ball skills playmaker. You know, Prince Mukamara has 10 career interceptions, and I believe this will be his 10th NFL season approaching. Didn't have any last year. Had three in 2018 as part of the turnover bonanza, but has never been a big turnover generator. But he's a guy who can play physical up at the line of scrimmage, man-to-man defense up and down the field with guys, and for the most part, be a pretty consistent threat or a pretty good job of shutting down his side of the field. But as a result, you tend to only notice him when he's getting beat. You don't notice the plays when the quarterback looks elsewhere because Prince Amukamara jams their receiver at the line of scrimmage and the quarterback just doesn't even consider that side of the field. It feels like the perception is that he was just getting torched down the sideline all game long, but I looked back. Last season, he allowed three catches of 20-plus yards. One was week one against Green Bay, one was week seven against the Saints, and one was week 13 against the Detroit Lions. And two of those came in the same situation where he's in cover six on the side of the field. It's a post route, and he's supposed to have better help over the middle, but the safety isn't there and ends up giving up a big gain after the catch. The other one was a double move on a slant go where, yeah, he pretty well got beat at the line of scrimmage, and that was a rough one, I will admit that, against the Detroit Lions in particular. But other than that, you're seeing a guy that's pretty darn consistent. Again, we're not talking about a shutdown cornerback completely, but an average guy that you can rely on. And in a pandemic season when the Bears are having a rotation of young players competing at cornerback right now, maybe the veteran presence of Amukamara could be a stabilizing force there to just hold it down for Jalen Johnson until he is 100% ready to go and comfortable with everything this defense is going to ask of him. There's no doubt he has the talent, the natural talent and the instincts, and actually the early returns now that he's back at practice from the offseason injury that kind of slowed him down. He's having a strong practice, and I think the Bears will feel confident enough to start him in week one and not have to worry about an outside cornerback. But I can't help but feel like it wouldn't hurt to even slow it down as much as possible, and don't force it sooner than you have to. Don't put him out there and let him develop any bad habits or get burned too much easily and get any sort of risk in there whatsoever. You know, as soon as he's the best option for your team, you start Jalen Johnson. But what does it hurt to bring in Prince Amukamara on a close to veteran minimum deal and make it kind of a truly open competition? Plug him back in there and say, okay, the best cornerback is going to start week one. And if by week six, Jalen Johnson is the better cornerback and Prince Amukamara is washed, then you can release him again and not lose any money and put your rookie in there. And at the end of the day, you don't really end up losing anything in the process. It just is more competition, more veteran experience at a critical position on this defense, and more depth too. If somebody gets hurt again, in addition to Artie Burns, you have to move some guys around. I would much rather have Prince Amukamara there than someone like Kevin Tolliver or Duke Shelley just yet that haven't had enough experience to truly prove their consistency at the NFL level. It's all about competition. That's been the theme of Bears training camp. And in particular, we're seeing a lot of guys benefit from the level of competition and competitiveness that Khalil Mack brings day in and day out. And up next on the podcast, we'll hear a new story from Matt Nagy about what he sees in how Khalil Mack is helping his teammates on both sides of the ball. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. We all know Khalil Mack is a very soft-spoken guy, not someone who has a lot of words when it comes to the media, and even sometimes around his teammates. You know, you don't see him necessarily being the vocal leader on the field, more of a lead by example guy. And as a result, we don't always get the great Khalil Mack stories. You know, he's almost more of like a legend than an actual like personality. It's like the massive presence of Khalil Mack rubs off on all the other players in this defense. But fortunately, you know, the coaching staff gets to observe Khalil Mack quite a bit close up, and Matt Nagy was able to share another strong example of Khalil Mack's leadership and some of the work he's doing to help his teammates. And I thought, first of all, every Khalil Mack story is great, but also we don't ever get enough of them. So I thought it'd be good to kind of have another update on some of the work Khalil Mack is doing that we don't get to see or really hear about all that much.
He only has one speed, and our tackles are feeling that right now. You know, LC, Simmons, Lechavius Simmons was, I saw him in the cafeteria the other day, and he told me in his country voice, he said, "Coach, you know, going against Khalil in that scrimmage, you know, I realize how crazy good he is. But coach, it's going to make me better." And I said, "You know what? We had that same story 2 years ago with a guy by the name of Rashad Coward. He was thrown in there from defense as a right tackle, and he had to go the first practice against him and looked at me and just had these big eyes that he's going against 52. But I will share a story with Khalil that I think needs to be recognized, is the fact that there was a drill about a week ago, and I don't know, maybe y'all saw it, but he was over there running the drill while Coach Monachino was down with the other guys. He has a pad on his arm, and he's teaching these guys different techniques. And I think that's special. That's on another level. There's times where he's walking on these fields in from practice, and I see him walking with some of the younger guys and his brother, and he's stopping in the middle of his walk to just show these guys certain moves. That's just who he is. He's rare, and I just love that about him.
It's another great example, not only of just how great Khalil Mack is to have in this organization, but it's something that can be lost a little bit in the discussions about player value and what they bring to a team. And, you know, you look at, like, Khalil Mack's salary and the trade and everything the Bears gave up to get him versus the production he gets on the field. That doesn't tell the full story of Khalil Mack's value to the Chicago Bears. It tells the story of everything we can measure about Khalil Mack's value, which I understand, like, if that's all we can measure, that's all we can truly work off of in that regard. But it's these sort of immeasurable things that provide a certain level of value that we just can't quantify, we can't know, and so we can't compare it, but it's there, it's real, it exists, and it exists in these types of stories that are maybe usually a little bit more hidden back. You know, how many of these types of things have happened that we never hear about from guys like Khalil Mack and others? You know, we've talked about this before with Danny Trevathan and some of the other leaders on this team, that, you know, Jimmy Graham mentoring some of these guys, where, you know, maybe it feels like the Bears overpaid in certain situations, but some of what they're paying for isn't just what they do in noon on Sundays during the regular season. So I think it's a good spot for Khalil Mack, especially now with his brother on the roster. I can't help but feel like he's a real shot to make this 53. And if this were a normal preseason and regular season and not a COVID year, I would be pretty hard-pressed not to find a spot for Ladarius Mack on this 53. But I can't help but wonder, because it's an extended practice squad and because it's a little bit harder to bring in these guys for workouts and stuff, and because there's no preseason tape on any of these undrafted rookies, I wonder if it's not just a little bit easier to stash these guys on the practice squad and to release somebody like that, that, you know, another team isn't going to take and put on their active roster without ever having seen them play in the NFL before, whereas some of the veterans that you might release might be more inclined to be picked up by another team. You know, like, if it comes down to Ladarius Mack versus Isaiah Irving or James Waters, for example, there's NFL regular season tape on James Waters and Isaiah Irving, and if you were to release one of them to try and put them on the practice squad, other NFL teams might be more confident in saying, we know what this player is, and we want to put him on our 53-man roster, whereas Ladarius Mack, you would just be looking at the same Buffalo tape that you looked at coming out of the NFL draft. And are you going to bank on that enough to use a 53-man roster space in this year when depth is that much more important because of the possibility of COVID-19? Probably not. This is the year, more than any, that you can probably get away with stashing rookies, even stashing potential draft picks. Like the fifth-round cornerback Kendall Vildor, I don't think we've heard his name spoken at all this training camp and preseason. Wouldn't surprise me if he didn't make the 53-man roster his rookie season. They put him on the practice squad, stash him in that regard. Even though it's releasing a draft pick his rookie season, it's just about team building and strategy in that regard, and not so much the ego and appearance of what it means to release a player you just used a draft pick on. All that is to say, Ladarius Mack is probably the player on this roster that'll be most like Khalil Mack in terms of the way they carry themselves, the way they act, the way they handle practice, and probably getting the most influence from Khalil in terms of learning the game and learning the nuances and being a veteran savvy player. That Ladarius is going to make it very difficult, I would suspect. make it very difficult for the Bears to release him. Even just the way Khalil Mack had talked about him last week, I believe, at a press conference when he was riding his exercise bike. Like, he knows Ladarius Mack is a playmaker, and he sees that, and it's not just because he's his brother. Like, Khalil Mack's not just going to blow smoke. He's a man of few words, but he can, you know, real recognize real. And Ladarius Mack and Khalil Mack definitely fall not far from the same tree. It's one of many difficult roster decisions the Bears have to make this week because the cut down to 53 is on Saturday. So there's a lot of roster movement still to come and a lot of final evaluations to be made. And you can bet we will break them all down right here on the Locked On Bears podcast. So make sure that you subscribe to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. This will probably be the hardest year to do any kind of 53-man roster prediction with no public games or practices up to this point, but we might still take a stab at it as the week goes on and kind of hone in on some of the final roster battles still up for grabs, the different dynamics the Bears will be considering this weekend, and getting ready for turnaround to week one, because it'll be here before you know it. Team will be on its way to Detroit and ready to bear down.